Today is September 8th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And even though Jeff sounds like he's had a little bit of speed this morning, I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com or phone 206-202-0647.
You know, Brian, it's actually a matter of perspective. I might sound like I've been on speed or something like that, but it might actually be that you've been sniffing glue.
I suppose that's possible. It's just normally you sort of start off a little bit more sedately, and I just was kind of, you know, taken aback by the aggressiveness of your today's September 8th, 2007.
Hey, I'm excited you're back. What can I say?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. As a matter of fact, thanks to Ricky for covering for me last week. I was not feeling well. I've had a cold for about the last 2 weeks, and I'm about tired of it.
Yeah, well, you're sounding a lot better, so I'm really glad for that. So welcome back. I'm glad you're doing better. And yes, a double thank you to Ricky, because he stepped in at the last minute, and he was such a trooper. So a double huzzah for Ricky.
A double huzzah for Ricky. Ricky's a great guy. And I was able to spend last weekend while I was sick in the studio with my new band. We were cutting a demo, and it would have been a lot harder to do if Ricky hadn't been able to cover for me.
So, yeah, and actually, congratulations on the whole band gig thing. I'm looking forward to when you guys go double platinum. Please remember all us little guys when you make it that far.
I will try to remember you. So why don't we go ahead and move on to the news?
Excellent. Apple made sure the word of the week was iPod. This week, Apple introduced a new iPod product family, over-the-air iTunes downloads, iPhone ringtones, and iPhone price drops. And despite the big news from Cupertino, NBC is moving from the iTunes store to Amazon's Unbox.
Apple hosted a media event in San Francisco on Wednesday to unveil its new iPod product lineup. The iPod Shuffle remains unchanged except for new muted colors. The iPod Nano, however, went through a major transformation. The new third-generation Nano comes with a larger 320 by 240 pixel display with a resolution of 204 pixels per inch, the highest density resolution Apple has yet shipped in any product. It supports video for the first time and also includes a redesigned interface complete with CoverFlow. Like its big brother, the newly minted iPod Classic, the iPod Nano supports video games and ships with Vortex, iQuiz, and Klondike all pre-installed. It retains the familiar click wheel, but its all-metal rectangular body is now shorter and wider to accommodate the wider display. Like the Shuffle, it is available in silver, blue, green, or red. A black model is also available. The iPod Shuffle is still priced at $79 US. The 4-gigabyte iPod Nano costs $149, and the 8-gigabyte model costs $199.
And the video-capable iPod is now the iPod Classic. Along with the new name, it also got the new interface found on the iPod Nano and retains its click wheel. It still supports video, and it ships with the same games found on the iPod Nano. It also replaces its metal and plastic body with an all-metal skin. It's available in silver or black. This is the only iPod that uses a hard drive for storage, and it's available in 80-gigabyte or 160-gigabyte capacities. The 80-gigabyte model is priced at $249, and the 160-gigabyte model costs $349.
Apple also introduced the long-rumored iPod Touch. The newest member of the iPod family looks like the iPhone, but slightly smaller. It features a 3.5-inch multi-touch display, built-in Wi-Fi, Safari, YouTube, Google, and Yahoo search support, calendar and address book support, and it even automatically rotates the display into landscape mode, just like the iPhone. It does not include Bluetooth support, the Notes application, or mail. The iPod Touch costs $299 with 8 gigabytes of flash memory or $399 with 16 gigabytes, twice that available on the iPhone. Apple expects to ship the iPod Touch by September 28th.
Apple pleased customers that haven't yet bought an iPhone and upset some that already had by dropping the price of the 8-gigabyte iPhone from $599 to $399. Apple CEO Steve Jobs said the iPhone is on track to sell 1 million units by the end of September, but the company wanted to be more aggressive moving into the holiday season. Apple also discontinued the 4-gigabyte model because customers are more interested in the higher capacity model. The $200 price drop left a bitter taste in many early adopters' mouths who felt that Apple dropped the price too much, too quickly after the product was launched. The iPhone was introduced just a little over 2 months ago. Mr. Jobs responded on Thursday with an open letter to customers explaining why the price was reduced and offered an in-store $100 credit to buyers that purchased an iPhone at its original price. Now, the details of that credit have not yet been announced.
Apple's media event was about more than new hardware. Mr. Jobs also announced the iTunes Wi-Fi music store. Like the name implies, iPhone and iPod Touch owners will be able to browse the iTunes Store music collection, purchase tracks, and download them through a wireless network. The next time a user syncs their iPod or iPhone with their computer, the tracks will be added to their iTunes library. To go along with the Wi-Fi music store, Apple struck a deal with Starbucks that lets iPhone and iPod Touch users buy songs inside the coffee shops. Even though Starbucks Wi-Fi is part of the subscription-based T-Mobile hotspot network, users will have free wireless access, though only when shopping at the iTunes Wi-Fi music store. Users can also see and buy the song that is currently being played inside their Starbucks, and also see and purchase the 10 most recently played songs. Songs purchased through the iTunes Wi-Fi music store will cost the standard 99 cents.
And Apple also released an updated version of iTunes that supports the new iPod models, along with a new feature for the iPhone, custom ringtones. iPhone users will be able to choose from about 500,000 tracks at the iTunes store and convert sections of them into ringtones. Customers will have to pay the 99 cents for the track and an additional 99 cents for the ringtone. Ringtones should be available sometime next week. And iTunes 7 also added support for closed captioning in videos, the ability to rotate albums instead of just songs, and videos can be played in a larger size in the iTunes window, and the update also fixed a security risk that could allow maliciously crafted song files to crash iTunes. iTunes 7.4 is free, and it requires macOS 10.3.9 or higher and Windows XP or Windows Vista.
Yeah, one thing, Jeff, I think you meant to say that it adds the ability to rate albums instead of just songs, not rotate them. And finally, yes. NBC revealed that it is moving its TV shows from the iTunes store to Amazon's Unbox because, frankly, it got tired of actually selling any. But seriously, folks, Amazon was willing to give NBC more control over show pricing. While final pricing for NBC's TV shows has not been set yet, Unbox will offer 30% discounts for customers that purchase a complete season. Depending on how NBC's deal with Amazon works, some, perhaps many, individual shows are likely to cost more than the $1.99 charged at the iTunes store. Negotiations between Apple and NBC over a new contract for the iTunes store broke down last week, and NBC decided not to renew its contract that ends in December. Apple countered with an open letter claiming that NBC was demanding price increases that would drive shows up to around $5 an episode. Apple also decided not to carry NBC's fall lineup that was scheduled to start in September. And that means it's time for the Context Machine. So, this is the Context Machine. This is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And let's start with NBC.
NBC. You know, you weren't here last week, Brian, so you didn't get to hear my assessment of the open letter that Apple had for, or actually it's a press release that Apple had in regards to NBC leaving. And what I told Ricky is that NBC or Apple could have wrapped up the entire press release in three words, and it would start with F and end with U, NBC.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, NBC and Universal both, I mean, they're both owned by the same company, General Electric. They're both clearly sniffing the same glue, speaking of sniffing glue, where they think that just because they want more money, customers will pay it. And I mean, you know, it's just it again, I will hammer home the point that I've hammered home in the past, that these freaking companies don't understand that, have yet to figure out that Apple has the power that they have because what Apple is doing is working. And they're pissed off at them for making it work. And, I mean, you know, wanting more than 99 cents for a single, wanting more than $1.99 for a TV show is just for a download with no product production cost, is it's just freaking outrageous. I mean, if they made $1.99 from every person that watched the show on TV, right? In other words, if you carried this to its extreme and everybody stopped watching TV and everybody started buying these things for $1.99, they'd be making a lot more money than they are right now from advertising. So the notion of them wanting $5 a pop is, or $4 a pop, or $3 a pop is, they're freaking crazy, man.
Okay, you know, when you made the joke that NBC decided to go with Unbox because they're tired of making money, that what makes it so funny is it has to be true. I mean, of all the services to select, Amazon Unbox has a really bad track record. It's seen as a clearly inferior service to what Apple is offering through the iTunes Store, and it's limited to Windows. So you're cutting out what I know many people will say, oh, the Mac market isn't that big, but you're cutting out a significant number of potential consumers when you limit yourself to one platform.
Well, yeah, and you're cutting yourself in this case. I think that Mac users are a lot more, for lack of a better term, fashion forward in this particular area. I think that Apple's customers are a lot more fashion forward.
Oh, yeah.
Than, say, Unbox customers. Nothing personal if you're an Unbox user.
You know, I have not met anyone that gets excited talking about Unbox, but I can be sitting at the pub down the street, in the coffee shop, wherever, and I will often hear talking about, or hear people talking about the iTunes Store, and oh, I bought that at iTunes. It comes up, but I don't hear Unbox coming up. You know, I have yet to hear someone say, "Dude, I just saw the most rockin' movie on Unbox."
Yeah, you know what? And I mean, my personal opinion here, and I am not my tension here. The obvious tension in my voice does not come from some sort of Apple fanboy standpoint. It just comes from the from a logical look at what's working. I mean, Apple has sold 95 million of these TV shows, or so they say, and I don't think that people are going to leave iTunes to become Unbox customers to watch NBC programs. I think they'll just stop bothering with them. More. I mean, surely, of course, some people will continue to buy Unbox shows, and some of them are going to be willing to pay more than $1.99. But they're going to lose a lot of customers off this, and it's all some kind of ridiculous, you know, cutting off their nose to spite Apple's face, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, what Apple is doing is working. The power they have is derived from the fact that they're successful with this.
Right. And, you know, honestly, I think a lot of people that are purchasing at the iTunes Store now, purchasing NBC content at the iTunes Store now, are likely to start considering other options, like going to peer-to-peer file sharing sites and just grabbing the content there. And for some people, it'll be because they don't get that. If you're not paying for the content, it's violating the license. And other people are going to say, well, screw NBC. They're already gouging me for enough money. And if they think I'm going to pay $5 for a TV show, I'll show them I'm going to go download The Bionic Woman for free.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that there's going to be at least some of that. It's just the whole thing is ridiculous, and I have no doubt that Steve Jobs is telling these folks very rudely that he's right and they're wrong.
You think rudeness is involved? I'm surprised.
I'm sure that directness and rudeness is involved. And it's not like I think that these companies should be, you know, holding hands with Apple and finding Apple to be the best business partners ever. I mean, Apple has a history of screwing over its partners as it is. I mean, you know, there's plenty of things to bitch about, but messing with the success of iTunes is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I just screw them. Let's move on to iPods.
Okay. All right. So when we were offering our speculation about iPods earlier, and then there was the supposed leaked images of the new Nano, and I called fakety fake.
Yep.
Looks like I was wrong. That's actually what the Nano turned out to be.
Pretty much, yep. No fakety fakes.
No, apparently not. Now, you were actually at the media event at the Moscone Center, so you got to play with one of these, have it in your hand, and what did you think? What was it actually a reasonable product?
Blankety blank, blank blank blank. I'm kidding. the new iPod Nano is not as ugly or ungainly as you think it will be, but it's nowhere near as sexy as the original Nano form factor. The original Nano form factor was just you look at it and you want one, even if you don't need it. At least it was for me. I mean, it's just, you know, it had that slim shape, you know, it fits in your hand nicely, and the aesthetic touches to the whole thing. It was just gorgeous.
It is a sexy device.
It is. The new one is not sexy. It does fit in your hand. It's not going to be a hassle to use. I personally just now, I could not imagine buying one. I don't want one. If I want to watch video, I'm going to get a Classic of Touch or use my my iPhone, which I already happen to have. And I don't know. I'm going to be very interested to see how this thing performs, especially during the holiday season. I don't think it's going to be as big as the previous Nanos.
How about the colors?
Oh, the colors are gorgeous. Yeah. They're not gorgeous, but they look really good.
Okay.
Apple chose some really nice colors, in my opinion. I think the Shuffles and the Nanos, color-wise, they look great.
Okay. Now, here's where I think the Nano is going to turn out to be a good product. This will be a good product for someone that is looking for an iPod that can play video but doesn't want to pay over $200 for a device.
Yeah, fair enough. And, there could be lots of folks like that. I mean, like, if you actually hold it and you put it in your hand, you know, you look at a picture of it, it looks butt ugly. You hold it in your hand, and like I said, it's not as ungainly as you might think it will be. And it does, you know, it does fit, and, you know, it is easy to use with your thumb. It just doesn't have that same sex appeal that the original Nano had.
But it does play videos.
But it plays videos, yep.
And, you know, when I see the new Nano, I see a device where the form followed the function. I mean, it looks like it had to be that big to accommodate the screen.
Wait, are you talking about the new one?
The new one, yes.
Yeah, it does. It does. The form is definitely following the function, which is, you know, a little bit unusual for Apple.
But there you go. They did it with the device. So now the new iPod Classic, I thought that was interesting that they came up with basically the device they already had, but in a new shell, slapped a new interface on it, and gave it on a 160 gigabyte hard drive for only $350.
Right, which is, you know, just awesome. I personally expected the what's now called the iPod Classic to be a combination of the Classic and the Touch. I thought that basically we're going to be looking at a hard drive device with the full screen interface. That's what I thought we were going to have. I didn't think we'd get the Touch. I didn't think we'd still have the Classic. I thought we'd have one that was combined. And seeing it's an interesting choice that they've made. I think that they could have gotten a premium by putting that full screen interface on a hard drive device.
They could have, but what they've done instead was make a very competitively priced device, and I think that might be where they were going with with the iPod Classic. And since it has so much hard drive storage, I'm picturing that a lot of people that really like the idea of having an iPod as a secondary storage device are going to be pleased with this, because they can still watch movies, listen to music, and they can carry around other work files in something that slides in their pocket.
Yeah, then they can you know, carry around just about anything they want, and it's a really good looking form factor. You know, it's thinner. It's yeah, you know, the new metal cases are just gorgeous looking. It's certainly a best in class device. I mean, you know, from both the functionality standpoint, the iPad interface is still easily, I think, at least the best interface for any of the digital media devices. If there is still a market for devices with that kind of capacity, which I'm sure there is, this thing is going to continue to be a big seller.
I have a feeling you're right. Now, the iPod Touch, when I saw that, my first thought was, ooh, too soon. We're going to start cannibalizing iPhone sales. And then I sat back and thought about it, and I came to the conclusion that it was actually a very brilliant move to bring out the iPod Touch right now, because it comes out right as people are starting to really come up with a lot of unlock hacks for the iPhone. They just negated, for most people, the need for an iPhone hack. They can now get an iPod Touch instead, which then means that iPhone sales and iPhone service contracts with AT&T are less likely to be chewed up by people going in and hacking the iPhone to work on other services. Now people can just get an iPod Touch instead, and they priced it at a point that makes it a totally reasonable purchase if that's the kind of device you're going for, a wireless iPod.
Yeah, and you got to figure that a lot of people who didn't want to switch to AT&T are, in fact, going to buy this device. You know, again, it's very compelling. It's even thinner than the iPhone. It's, you know, it looks just as great as the iPhone, except it's even thinner. So, you know, hooray there. It is, I think that if it's going to be taking sales of anything, it's actually going to be taking some nano sales, and it's going to be taking some classic sales. And I'm not sure how much it's going to actually grow the market, but I think that it probably will grow the market for Apple at least a little bit.
It probably will. There's a lot of people out there in the United States that aren't using AT&T and don't want to use AT&T. And honestly, before I activated my iPhone, I was very leery of switching from T-Mobile to AT&T. Well, as it turns out, the coverage is just fine, the service is just fine, and it turned out to be a non-issue switching. But I was really worried up till then. There's a lot of people out there that aren't going to be quite as adventurous as I was, and they're not going to switch their service. Now they don't have to. And they can sell the iPod Touch outside of the United States right away. So that's a bonus right there for sales.
That's true. And the profit margins on this thing should be pretty solid. I mean, you know, you look at the fact that it's got a little bit more flash memory than the Nano. It's got, of course, a much bigger screen. They're not having to pay someone else for the operating system because it's running OS 10. I mean, you know, this should be good for Apple's bottom line. I think the Touch is going to be successful. I think that the Classic is going to be successful. The Shuffle is going to continue to be successful. The Nano is going to be the one that we'll have to see how it actually ends up performing, especially, like I said, during the holiday season.
You know, I agree with you on everything except the Shuffle and the Classic. I'm going to speculate that the Shuffle will probably do better because of its size. And you can play video on it, and it's very small. The Classic...
Whoa.
Did I mix up my names?
Sure did, buddy.
Okay, so I think that the Nano is going to do better than the Classic, as opposed to the Classic doing better than the Nano. We have too many iPods. I can't keep the name straight anymore. My God. Okay, so I think the Nano has a higher likelihood of doing better because of its compact size and the fact that it can play video now. And the iPod Classic, because it falls into that range between what the Shuffle is and what the Touch is, it's going to become kind of an ambiguous area where people are going to say, well, you know, for another few dollars, I can get this thing that has the whole touch interface.
Yeah, but the thing, though, Jeff, is that I think that there are a lot of people that want more than 16 gigs of storage.
And you're absolutely right.
And those people are going to have to buy a Classic.
Yeah, they will. And there's a lot to be said for hard drive storage. Of course, there's also a lot to be said for flash storage. You know, I guess I'm just going to have to wait and see what the market does. And if I could predict the market, I would be so rich.
That's true. Well, let's talk about the iPhone price drop.
You know, that kind of really pissed off a lot of people.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You know, okay, so here's my feeling, and I know a lot of people are going to flat out disagree with me. The iPhone, when it came out two-ish months ago, cost what it cost. And if you needed it then, that's what you paid for it. And if you need it now, this is what you pay for it. It costs what it costs when you need it. That, I mean, that's the bottom line. And yes, it was a pretty quick turn from what it was then to what it is now price-wise, but that's what the market did. And I think that Apple's going to end up selling even more iPhones because of this aggressive pricing. And I also think that this was a shot across the bow for other cell phone makers and for other portable media player makers. Yes, it's going to help sell more because it's a lower price, but it's also one of those things where Apple said, okay, everyone, we're not playing games anymore. We're in this to win.
Well, yeah, and that's what Gene Munster said, was that he thinks that this was a shot across the bow, as it were, of the cell phone industry, as opposed to it being an issue of Apple seeing lower demand. And I am a little bit torn on that. I don't know whether or not Apple was seeing demand suddenly lower. I kind of doubt that. I really think that a drop of $100 would have been enough to goose that demand for the holidays. I am of the opinion that this is a statement. This is Apple saying that we want some market share and that we want to be big. Now, remember that Apple said it was going to sell 1 million by the end of September and it was going to sell 10 million in 2008.
Right.
Well, that's a pretty big leap from going from 1 million to 2.5 million units per month. And, you know, having some kind of price drop was clearly part of that formula. And, you know, now that said, I think that Apple is doing the right thing by offering folks a $100 gift certificate. I just don't have any sympathy for folks that are pissed off because they bought it when it was at a higher price. You know, I'm really sorry that you didn't wait. I don't really care. You know, this is the market at play. And like I say, I'm stoked that I'm going to get a $100 gift certificate from Apple or a $100 credit, whatever. You know, that's absolutely fantastic, but I wasn't crying because you know, the price is lower now and you know, I got to use my iPhone for a couple of months. So
there you go.
So, you know, so Apple's done the right thing. By doing the gift certificate, people need to quit whining about it, especially now that Apple is going to do this this credit thing. And whether or not it was predicated by a drop in demand or if Apple wants to gain market share, we'll have to wait and see. You know, it certainly might well be a combination of the two.
Sure. And Steve Jobs is a master of spin, so we have to keep that in mind. One of the things that Steve said during that press conference really stuck in my mind. And it was just kind of a almost in passing line where he said that Apple has decided to be more aggressive. And it was just kind of in the middle of everything and then gone. But I think that line was very strategically placed and it was put there so that their competitors know that it's not a sissy game anymore. They've rolled up their sleeves and they're ready to come in swinging.
Yep. And, you know, $400 puts the iPhone in a very, very competitive spot. I think that Apple is going to be able to move these things, especially around the rest of the world. You know, of course, keep in mind, too, that the rest of the world is also part of why Apple thinks it can sell more than the million that they've sold heretofore or that they're going to sell during this quarter because they're going to be selling it in more markets. But, I mean, $400 is a really good price point for this device to be in. And I think it's going to do well for the company.
I think so. And actually, another thing people need to keep in mind, the price that you're paying for an iPhone in the United States is what everyone else would have expected to pay anyhow. The United States has all these subsidized phone plans where you end up getting a phone for $20 or $50 that would otherwise cost you a couple hundred dollars.
Right. Of course, I'm not an expert on the European market. I don't know if the European carriers are also subsidizing their phones.
Well, I have a niece that lives in Sweden, and when she came to visit summer ago, she wanted me to take her to the mall so she could go look at the cell phone stores and buy a $20 phone so that she wouldn't have to pay the equivalent $300 in Sweden. And when we went to look at phones and I explained to her why phones are priced what they were, she was completely taken aback. She could not believe that there was the whole subsidizing thing and that phones are locked to specific carriers. And she thought really that when you came to the United States and bought a phone, that $20 price point was simply what they cost and that there was no subsidizing going on.
Well, okay, I don't think that we can make that a representative sample then, because that's a bit of an irrational standpoint of viewpoint.
Well, all right, so in Sweden, at least one teenage girl is appalled.
pardon me, folks, I am still sick.
But you're sounding so much better.
Oh, thank you. Let's move on to the request line, huh?
I think that sounds great. And that particular riff means it's time for our request line, the segment where we talk about the topics that you pick.
And Zaphod Beeblebrox, we're guessing that's not his real name, wrote in to ask us if he should hack his iPhone. And he said to us, I've seen all kinds of cool iPhone hacks, but I'm worried about damaging it. What's the story?
All right.
What's the story, Jeff?
Right after I have a shot of my Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster. All right, so the story is that, or I'll come right out and say it. I have not hacked my iPhone because I was worried about potential problems with future software updates from Apple. However, that's pretty much an irrational fear on my part.
And I'll come right out and say it. I have hacked my iPhone.
And actually, you did a really, really cool hack on your iPhone.
I did. I did it twice. Once as a script kiddie, where I was just basically doing all the things that other people have said, here, do this for. And once where I was a push-button script kiddie, where I instead installed the things that other people have actually made. And all this was done with the help of Michael Johnston, our friend over at iPhone Alley, who also works with Dave and John over at the Mac Geek Gab doing their enhanced podcast feed. And long story short, hacking your iPhone, for me, I mean, the correct answer when anyone says, should I hack my iPhone? The correct answer is, of course,
no.
Of course you shouldn't hack your iPhone. You might break it. Who knows? Are you kidding? What, these things grow on trees? I don't think so. You could mess something up. Worse yet, we're talking about a lot of open source software. We're talking about a lot of unvetted software. Someone could be, you know, putting something crazy in your iPhone if you don't know what it is that you're installing. You know, you really should know what you're doing. You know, the reality is that you can restore your iPhone with a couple of clicks in iTunes and erase everything. You know, put it back exactly like it came. And
right.
So, you know, I've been comfortable doing it, even though I didn't even know what I was doing. And the hack that I did was to allow my iPhone to be a tether for my MacBook Pro so I could do live coverage. In other words, I was getting internet access through the iPhone's Edge network and actually doing live updates from the last two Apple Media events on my MacBook Pro. And, you know, to me, this is something that the iPhone should be able to do anyway. It's,
right.
This is one of those absurd missing features, especially since it's clearly possible to do it, since people who, you know, the hackers have been able to figure out how to do this. But, you know, the first time that I did it, it took 6 hours. It was a complete mess, and I was just doing the stuff that Michael was showing me what to do, you know, putting files here and there and, you know, using this piece of software to do this. And then, you know, it was actually quite complicated. And now there's a new app called AppTap. It's APTAPP, or is it APPTAPP?
I think it's APPTAP.
P. Yeah, it's definitely P. TAP, TAPP. It's this great piece of software that will install itself on your iPhone from a GUI on your Mac, and then it basically puts this installer application on your iPhone, and from that installer application, you can install a wide variety of software, all from, I'm looking, all from a list, and it grabs all the source code from online. It grabs actually the list of what's available from online. Anything that you've installed that needs to be updated, it'll let you know. You can uninstall everything. It's all done with a couple of touches on your iPhone. It's so simple. You can put games. You can put utilities. I still ended up for the Tether hack. I still ended up having to move a couple of text files by hand. But even, you know, even that was simple. It's, I don't know. If you want to play around with your iPhone, you want to hack it, you're probably not going to be in any trouble because you can restore it. We don't recommend it, of course, for anyone, but it's something that I'm comfortable doing.
Well, there you go.
What do you think? Anything else we should say on that?
No, I guess the only thing we should add is that I need to stop being a scaredy cat about hacking my iPhone. It's okay to do.
Well, why don't you wait until the you get back from Chicago? What's the event you're going to?
I'm going to Graph Expo, which is a really big printing and graphic design expo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
For a small subset of people out there, it can actually be a very exciting thing. For everyone else, you wake up with a wet spot of drool on your shirt. So now, but what will make this expo interesting for our readers that aren't all that into the whole graphic design end of the world, the pre-press end of the world, is that I'm actually not taking my MacBook Pro with me. I'm taking my iPhone, and so I'm going to do everything at the event, writing articles, all of that, on my iPhone. So this will be a very grand experiment to see just how versatile the iPhone is as a replacement for a laptop in certain situations.
Yeah, and I applaud you for that, and I wish you well for that, and I look forward to editing the stuff
yeah.
that you sent.
Yeah, okay, so for everyone playing along at home, the workflow that I've come up with, I'm actually going to email my articles to Brian so that he can do the final edits on them for me and get them into the system so that all of our wonderful listeners can read them.
Indeed, indeed. And it's going to be a very interesting experiment, and I can't wait to read your write-up about actually having done this. I think that it'll be very informative for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. Even if it goes poorly, I'm still looking forward to it because it will be an educational experience, not just for me, but for everyone else that's interested in trying this.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, I'm probably just about to cough. I'm going to try to hold on to the end of the show here. Let's leave one final word. That is definitely the request line. If there's anything you want to hear Jeff and I discuss in the Context Machine, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com or give us a call at 206-202-0647. We'd love to hear from you. If you've hacked your iPhone, you've got something neat to share, we'd love to hear from you. Any kind of perspective, you know, definitely let us know. And as always, we'll close the Context Machine with listener comments. Buttercup Boxer wrote in response to last week's show, and he said, quote, "I thought Jeff needed to say, 'We meet again, now I am the master.'" But he did say also that it was nice to hear Ricky.
Indeed. And just special for Buttercup Boxer, "We meet again, Ricky, now I am the master."
Very,
I'm sorry,
very
that's the
nice.
Best I could do.
Yes. Yes, that was lovely. And we appreciate, we actually heard from some other folks also who said that it was nice to hear Ricky, and it definitely was. And I want to thank Ricky again for filling in for me while I was sick.
You know, and even though it's great working with you, Brian, it was also really, really nice to have Ricky back for an episode. It was kind of like a little family reunion day.
Oh, indeed, 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 indeed. So why don't you close us out, buddy?
I think that sounds like a great idea. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com or give us a phone call at 206 202-0647. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness.
Indeed it is. And we should also mention our Future Sonics forum promotion.
Yes.
If you post in the forums, if you post in the comments on either iPodObserver.com or the Mac Observer, you're going to be entered into a drawing for some Future Sonics earphones that are really great. So, you know, definitely get out there and do that. It's a good thing.
And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And despite my horrible Darth Vader impression, stay subscribed.
Yeah, we'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.